free warm, a free warm to put on the website. And it was actually very difficult because I wanted something that was actually on my server. All the free stuff was on other people's servers. And I get that. I mean, I get it. But which means that there's no privacy, there's no security, there's, you know. So, I mean, I spent quite a while looking for something that would actually be private and on my servers for my website, and I found something. And so right now there's, what, eight of us that have access to it, I think. So if any of you guys want to have access to that forum and want to contribute, just let me know. I'll send you. It is password protected. I'll send you to it. And I'm in the process of figuring out a way that when someone does make a post, that it will automatically send a notice to your email saying, you know, Matthew updated the forum today or something.
Well, that was just another thing I was going to ask you about that, because I've been wanting to add or put some things in, but I thought, well, no, this is created for this topic. I mean, is it where we can create a new thread and
other forums? I don't remember. Okay. Maybe. And if you wanted to do that, that's fine. But it is, you know, mainly for the discussion of Ecclesia.
Yeah.
Of which, you know, we didn't have Michael on the list, but Michael's on the list. And he wouldn't mind me telling you guys, but, you know, just like so many that we've known through the years, the kingdom message usually attracts men. And it's the women that usually come kicking and screaming and want nothing to do with it. So obviously we know what we have when we have a wife that comes with us.
Amen.
And I mean, you better believe that it's I'm not telling you something that you don't already know. But Michael's one of those guys that wants the kingdom of God and wants to live according to the scriptures, and his wife would prefer to go play church this morning. And she has just fought him every single step of the way, openly calls him an idiot in front of his children. As the wife and the children are dressing to go to church, you know, your dad's an idiot, you know, that type of thing. So, and we've seen it, you know. I mean, Jeff sitting over there against the wall, you know, wanted the kingdom so bad he couldn't hardly stand it, and had a wife whose dad was a Baptist preacher and counseled his daughter to divorce Jeff because Jeff wanted to live according to the scripture.
Heretic.
That's what the Baptist preacher did.
Yeah.
To his own daughter.
Wow.
Yeah.
And grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you want me to shut up, just tell me to shut up. But, you know, and now since the Baptist preacher counseled his own daughter to divorce a man who simply wanted to live according to the scripture, while they were married, she was out running around. Then she divorced Jeff and she had what they would call an official relationship with another man. That one has fallen apart. Then she was with another one and it fell apart too.
Still
just okay. So she's just on her third one. So that's fine. So that's. Oh, this is the fourth one. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't want to take.
There was one before me.
Oh, I see. I don't want to take away from that scoring record there. But that's a proud heritage that the Baptist preacher has left for his daughter. But we've seen that so many times through the years that it's typically the man that wants to live in the kingdom and the woman wants nothing to do with it. And then on the other side, and I saw this, you know, 40 plus years ago when I was playing church, you know, a lot of times it's the women that are driving those places. And I've seen lots of times where the women were sitting there. Well, Michael's a great example. His wife's sitting in the pew and Michael's at home. And I saw that a lot. But I saw it with, you know, women who claimed to be godly women or looked like godly women, and their husbands wanted nothing whatsoever to do with church. And so the women were driving the church, the men were driving the kingdom, and a lot of times, sadly, You know, the women want nothing to do with it. And that's Michael's situation. And he wanted to be here really, really bad. He wants to be part of Ecclesia. But he says that when he goes, it's not going to be easy because there will be a divorce and they have a state marriage license. And because people have state marriage licenses, the state is involved.
Yeah.
They're the executor.
This is what a lot of people don't understand. When someone goes to get a state marriage license, and in fact, in 1984, when I was playing church at Indianapolis Baptist Temple, this whole issue of marriage was before the Indiana Supreme Court. And the issue was, because at that time Indiana did not have a lot of the same statutes related to marriage that some of the other states had. And so there was this huge Supreme Court case in Indiana that went before them, and the Indiana Supreme Court ruled, and it was headlines in the Indianapolis, it wasn't the Star at that time, it was, I forget what it was, but the main Indianapolis newspaper. Big, giant headlines. I mean, the size of, you know, Kennedy assassinated. It was that big. Big, bold. Marriage is partnership.
Yeah.
Well, I've asked people 1,000 times since then, is marriage a partnership? No. Thanks, Harold. I knew you. Absolutely, marriage is not a partnership. Not a godly marriage. A godly marriage is not a partnership. But yet, big, giant, bold letters, the Supreme Court in Indiana ruled marriage is partnership. Well, here's what they said, as
domestic
plain.
Partner.
What's that?
Domestic partner.
Well, as plain as day is what they said, is that a state marriage is 1/3 the husband, 1/3 the wife, and the controlling interest is the state.
Wow.
As plain as day. Is what they said. So, you know, I've told people, you know, who asked the other day? Someone asked, well, Ethan did. What steps do I need to take to remove myself? Well, first of all, I think the ecclesia and a declaration of dependence is like a blanket. And I think that covers a multitude of sin. But for those who were still living in the world outside of ecclesia, I have counseled people for 30 years. If you have a state marriage license, go get a divorce. Go through the process of the state and get divorced.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Get divorced from the state.
Yeah, because that ultimately is what you're doing. You're not divorcing Lisa. You're divorcing the state. Now, what you have to do, hang on, let me finish this one thought. What you have to do is, because all the states now have adopted no-fault divorce.
Yeah.
Okay? That used to not be the case. And by the way, Greg Dixon, with all of his other garbage, in fact, most people don't know this, while he was telling the entire country that he was not a corporation, well, all he did was dissolve one of them. They had 9 more. They had 9 more church corporations while they were telling everybody that they were unincorporated. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But there were some things that he was pretty smart. He said that the Indiana Supreme Court's decision on declaring that marriage is partnership would one day pave the way for same-sex marriage. He said that back in 1984, which was pretty interesting. But anyway, what you do is this, because all the states have no-fault divorce, is you simply write up an agreement of what the divorce is. If there are children, okay, the children become the sole and complete custody of the father. Any property that you might have that's listed with the state all becomes property of the father. And then you completely get your wife completely unattached from that whole thing. And guys, I'm telling you something else. If you're in the world, if you're still in the world, you better make sure that your wife is completely disassociated. If you have property, get her name off of that property. If you've got cars, get her name off that property. If you file taxes, get her name off those documents. You know that they have millions and millions and millions of laws on their books. And they can turn them and use them against you at any second. And I'm telling you, if your wife is legally attached to that system, she is in grave, grave danger. If you have any type of entanglement with the state, get your wife loose from it. If your family's not free yet, at least in the meantime, make sure that your wife is not exposed. And I'm telling you, guys, what I went through proves it absolutely. They never attempted to touch my wife.
And the conclusion of that is because they're under your headship. They're under your covering.
Absolutely.
By removing the wife, she moves under the husband's covering.
Absolutely.
Instead of the state's covering.
Absolutely. And this is the way to get, at least while we're in a godly world trying to come out, this is at least a step in the right direction. You know, we're commanded to live by the laws of God, whether we're in an ecclesia or not.
Amen.
We have, you know, you go all through the first 39 books of the Bible, and you've got one man here, you've got one man here, you've got one man here, and they're saying, I don't care what the rest of you do. I'm going to follow the laws of God. And what typically happened, it was very difficult, wasn't it? Very, very difficult. So, and again, all of that is for our learning. It's all for our learning. We're not supposed to be scattered. One guy here, one guy here, one guy here. Hundreds of miles apart. So, if you are still in trying to escape the world, you really, really need to make sure that your wife has no legal entanglement with them. Because I'm telling you, if they want to come after you, all it takes is a piece of paper. But it does require a piece of paper. You know, Harold, I know you've heard this for a long, long time. But you remember the Patriots used to talk about nexus? What is that nexus? Well, you better believe they got that right. They absolutely got that right. Where is the paperwork? You know what? When they came after me, I had the idiot cop on the stand one day, and this was stupid. If you guys would have seen me there, you would have just laughed. It was so embarrassing. Trying to be in their legal system and act like you know something because you watched a Perry Mason episode. It was absolutely stupid. But I'm sitting there asking the cops some questions, and you know, before, as I was preparing them, I thought, man, this is going to make this guy look like a real idiot that he is. And so anyway, what I didn't realize is every time I opened my mouth, I mean, and I'm not exaggerating, to the point where if I started to take a breath, like I was going to talk, the idiot little pipsqueak persecutor would sit there and say, objection. And I'm like, and all of a sudden, it was an absolute comedy show what this guy was doing to me, because he knew how to play all the little legal crap and I didn't. But anyway, I did get one question in, because as you know, they came and they raped our home. And while they were in our home, going through all, they were only supposed to be, according to the search warrant, they were only supposed to be in one little part of our home, but instead they were everywhere, inside and outside. But anyway, I asked the cop, I said, now, while you were in my home for the 4 hours that you were there, was there one single thing that you found in all that you did that said that I am the person that was listed on their paperwork? Which was my birth name, not the name that I go by. So I said, was there anything? I mean, did you find one single thing in there that said that this body has that name? And he said, no. And I said, well, then what makes you think that I am that person? You don't believe what his answer was? Your clothes were in your closet.
I don't mean
really, but that's what his answer was. And then you know what the wise judge Seth was sitting there doing? He was going. Just like that. Like, man, you're brilliant. You guys are absolutely brilliant.
Actually, that was his toothpaste, too. His toothbrush.
Yeah. Yeah. So ultimately, you know, we know what happened. It just, poof, after almost 4 years, it all went away. Because there was no paperwork. There was nothing tying me to their statues. And it went away.
But if it was that difficult for you, who never once touched or used or took ownership of your certificate...
That's exactly my point.
How difficult is it going to be for a guy like me if they ever decide to come after
start getting
all
rid
that
of them.
Residue?
Start getting rid of them. And Matthew, you may have problems. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to have problems. You might. But at least get your wife safe. Get your wife safe. If she's got documents with identifying her body as having an entanglement with that system, get it off. Whatever you have to do, get it off so that you can protect your wife. You might have to go through the fire, but don't make her go through the fire because you got her name on some documents.
When you ask or say that they're on like the property deed and things like that, how would that work if, let's say, you passed away, the transfer of title?
Just quick claim deed it. Okay. Just get a quick claim deed, put her name on it, put it in the drawer. And then if you passed away, all she's got to do is present the quick claim deed and it's all hers. Doesn't have to be filed, doesn't have to be registered, nothing. You just put a quick claim deed, put it in the drawer, tell her where it is, and if something happens to you, boom. She pulls it out and now it's hers. Or, you know, kids or whoever you're going to leave it to. So, you know, there are things that we, if we're going to be in the world, you know, I mean, a lot of that stuff, that Patriot stuff, is a lot of drivel. It really is. But I do have to give them some credit that in their search for what I believe is liberty, and I believe there's some difference between liberty and freedom, but they have uncovered some things. They really have. I mean, those guys spend their whole lives digging for ways to find, basically to find loopholes in their, you know, in their system to make them free. Randy, I'm sorry. What were you? Did you forget now?
In 1986, and you can go on YouTube and probably find it. It was Jim Maddox, one of the most flamboyant state attorney generals.
Mm-hmm. I remember this.
He was more powerful than the governor, and for a lot of reasons. But anyway, there was some sort of high profile millionaire case where he had children. There was a big divorce, and someone asked him, "Well, who controls? Who has possession of the children?" And he stood on the Travis County courthouse steps and said, "Every state in the union, in the state of Texas, owns has legal guardianship over your children. No, they have ownership of your children, and you are just the parents, are just the guardians. You're just the ones who are feeding them and clothing them and paying the bills. We own them."
You can easily find this on the internet. Easily find it. It's
unbelievable
there.
Statement. And he cited some, you know, precedent, you know.
Yeah. So now the thing that has always concerned me, Randy, is why we've known those things, but it's like they don't apply to us. That's what I've never been able to figure out. Why can we read, you know, the Indiana Supreme Court says marriage is partnership, when the scriptures clearly say the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is over the ecclesia, that's not a partnership. And things such as Abbott.
Okay, so I'm sorry. He said that the children are a ward of the state.
It's exactly what he said.
They can turn themselves over without parental authority. If they have issues or whatever, and sometimes it's for the best, if the parents are abusive, but they can go to the court and say, "I want to become a ward of the state." At 16 years old, 14 years old, whatever, and the state will apply.
Like, You guys know Ken Masat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know him. I know
just know the name.
This kind of discussion was going on 10 years ago, and he stood up and said, if you have children under the age of, say, 19, or they're in college, they're still considered under your roof if you're claiming them on your taxes, or you have an obligation to pay for their college up until the age of 24. He said, if you go, they filed for divorce. They did the same thing. The state came down on them and said, we want the children. And so it took him to, probate, family court, and I don't know whatever happened to it. He just said, without going into details, they tried to take our kids away from us. And all we were trying to do was disassociate ourselves with the system.
So start with the kids first?
So, it's theirs. They had the license.
That's leverage.
They had the license, and the children were I don't know how many children he has. He has quite a few, but he still had some that were teenage years, and they were using them as leverage or whatever. And I don't know what happened to them. They said it was, they almost took the kids. Mm-hmm. So he just said, I can't tell anybody what to do, except I know what you're saying, but watch out. Like, you probably will have issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why the revenue code said, when we would do workshops and stuff 30 years ago, we would teach people that it says, if you wish to claim this child as a dependent,
mm-hmm.
you must give him a social security number by the age of 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been everybody in America's first clue.
Mm-hmm.
To have learned that for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But we are some hard-headed liberals.
How do you...
And we try to live.
How do you take a quick deed and say I purchase land from you, it's most people are paying taxes. Okay, so how do you divest, how do you prove that you've divested yourself or sold a piece of land? At some point, doesn't it have to go to the tax assessor to say, hey, it's changed hands, you are no longer paying for that acreage, whether I have a quick deed that I've made up and surveyed the land myself?
No, a lot of the counties in various states, though, they're they keep closing the loop. And now it's to the point that even, I don't know if any of you have ever noticed this buying a car recently, but now, and I'll get back to your point there, but now when you go to the dealership and you've got your cash, you not only have to have a cash reporting transaction, it's over $10,000, then they also want you to, the manufacturer statement of origin, which is true bill of sale for the vehicle, they don't even get that anymore at the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
So now the paperwork is filled out, sent to the state, and the state gets the MSO because why? Because the Patriot community figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
We had the MSOs. We were able to go into a court and say, prove jurisdiction over this automobile, and they couldn't because we had the birth certificate or the bill of sale and the original. So back to the titling now, a lot of these counties are requiring a social security number on the documents that are being required to be filed. And just thought we were gonna have to probably do something here, but we wound up getting the last one without providing it because it was in Michigan, I think. But I know Wisconsin, I think it was too, for us, is that we made that acquisition outside of Wisconsin. I think we've done it in Wisconsin, according to everything I've been seeing here lately. It's all being required. So, but typically, no, you quit claiming property, there's no obligation as far as you haven't proved that you no longer have any connection with it. It's all you can do is provide what they've recorded. That would be my assessment.
You can find this information real easy online. It's real easy. I did learn some really interesting things the last time we sold property. And it was good for me because we had lived in that community or around that community for close to 20 years. And I had friends in there. One of the friends that I had actually built her website. She owned the title company, one of the title companies in downtown Cassville. And so I called her up and said, Cheryl said, our neighbor wants to buy our place, and I need to come talk to you. And so I went in because I had heard that now at closing you had to show government ID, and I was assuming that you had to have social security number and all that kind of stuff. So I went in there, I told her, I said, now, Cheryl, I don't have any of that stuff. And I fully expected her to freak out and tell me that, you know, this was going to be a major problem and this, that, and the other. And she said, so? No. She said, that's not a problem. And she began to tell me why it wasn't a problem, because the sale of the place was under a certain amount, because you were the sole owner of the place and had owned it for at least 2 years, and blah, 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 blah. And she told me, she said, there is no requirement for Social Security. And so this transaction, we didn't sell the place for $1.4 million, but the transaction was $1.4 million because the guy that, my neighbor that bought our place, refinanced all of his loans to incorporate the sale of our place. So the full contract was like well over $1 million, and it was all done without any numbers, at least on my part of it. Because I told her, I do not have these things. Well, the closing cost, which was all paid by the buyer because of the contract, was $4,000 or $5,000. She wanted the $4,000 to $5,000, so she made it happen.
Yeah. One addition to what I was saying is that what was the technical name for the Obamacare Act? There are taxes in there now that are deducted for that health care act. So if you sell a piece of property now, the states, just like the states are supposed to be doing the real ID, but that law has been out there for, 15 years now, the real ID? And states are really, dragging their feet on applying it and making everybody get up to it, because that's a federal requirement for the real ID. So the paperwork now on sale of a piece of property has a tax identification number on it. You never had to have a driver's license number on the motor vehicle registration. Now you're going to get a motor vehicle registration. The driver's license is required on there. Social Security number and even the date of birth on that. And so they just keep closing the circle, making sure that they're, keeping everything in one nice, tidy little package. So this is going to be something for me because, I got two properties ready to go. So it's going to be,
They're closing the loop.
and I just pray. That's all I say, Lord, how you've directed me the last 35 years. You know all that you put in my path and everything else that you've done. So we're going to do this now and, in trying to keep with your word and your will as we've done the things in the past. So your protection is necessary for whatever's required. That's all I can do. Mm-hmm. And that's the best I can do.
Yeah. So. On your way out, if you've got a driver's license and you had to present it, you got a social security number and you had to present it.
Get it out.
Yeah, it is. But we didn't have to be anywhere. He's going to give it to me when we're done. So it won't publish anywhere. But, on your way out, just like I have people come to me and, like Webb was asking me the other day, how do I get out? Well, we didn't really get a chance to talk about it, but I would counsel Webb, I think I told some people last night, that if you are on Social Security right now, just file the paperwork and tell them that you want a lump sum and take it as a lump sum and be done with it. Just be done with it.
There's nothing there. No money. money there.
Oh, I get it, but at least, you know.
Worthless paper anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, we call it worthless paper, but I can still take that worthless paper and convert it into a piece of property or into a, you know, whatever. So, you know, on your way out of Egypt, you know, the scripture says the Israelites didn't leave Egypt empty-handed. That's right.
That actually brought up a question I had. What do you have to legally do to start taking Social Security?
I have no idea on that one.
You file. Simply file. It's Social Security.
Because I was sitting there thinking, brainstorming, it's like, well, wait a minute. I know I've got money into it.
You have to be 62. Right. You can't file for anything.
Well, I think for penalties, though.
Huh?
I think, well, okay, maybe it's just based off of disability.
Yeah, disabilities or something like that. You can claim a disability.
My back's been bothering me for years.
Go get a couple of physicians, I guess, and just can't work, man.
Because that's what I brainstormed. Like, well, I mean, I pay me.
Takes you 4 hours to get out of bed in the morning, you know, and you can't even get to work.
You didn't know the lump sum, whatever that amount is, and that could be towards our money.
I mean, it's stupid, but it's and to me, it's like, you know, so. There's a mental thing where you can say, Lord, it was a stupid decision I made, and I'm sorry, and I have nothing there.
Well, yeah, it's therapy. I'm just brainstorming on ways to.
And it's a quick pro quo. If you're going to apply for SSDI, any kind of disability,
that's got all the
reasons. It's a graduated scale, and so they're going to assess you by a scale from 0 to 100. So, whatever you're making from or getting from what you put in, it's gone anyway. They're going to ding you. If they ever find out that you're making money, they're going to ding you. Or if you're in the system, you're going to get dinged. They'll be happy. So.
And you're going to be tied to them for another 20 years.
Well, no, I'm talking about cashing out.
They won't cash out on that SSR.
On disability. But also be really, really careful, guys, of this Patriot stuff that's going around that, you know, your birth certificate is worth, you know, $50 billion.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, better run from that as far as you can.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I just cannot strongly tell you enough how much you need to protect your wives.
My sister back in the 80s, when we were in Minneapolis, she come running into the properties we were working on, and she said, Doug, Jimmy Swaggart has just been told by the state that he's going to have to pay taxes on his books and tapes, and he's tax exempt. Audrey, let me go through this again. Go to the state with permission to do this, then you're under their authority. Just like I've told you on the tax. Go to your hand, get your hand out this way about the tax exemption. They're coming back with their hand out this way saying, you owe tax. It's just as simple as that. And now, 30 years later, my sister can't stop texting me about all the stuff she's so fed up with. It's like, thanks for coming along and getting there. Dad was right. So there it was, you know, already back in the 80s, big old Jimmy Swaggart, you know, his California ministry, and they wanted to charge those books and tapes of his because he was making money. We'd like a piece of that.
Yeah.
We really think we should have a piece of it. So the state's going to do whatever they want to do. So there's truly nothing like being under the headship of God, and we need it badly. And the people of the nation who are called of God to truly build his kingdom and reject man's. You just want him to wake up for the one that's his.
Back about that same time in the early 80s, Falwell used to say, with shekels come shackles. Talking about, you know, signing up.
All the while he was shekeling up and absolutely shackling up.
And not only that, do you know that Jerry Falwell was telling the men that they need to incorporate their families.
Yeah.
They needed to make their families a U.S. corporation.
But that says something, because they have more legal protection as a corporation in that system.
In that system.
You know?
It's like trusts.
Just trusts. That's why the corporations are getting as big and everything as they are, is they have more protections.
Yeah.
More things to do to...
Do you know that before Jerry Falwell came onto the scene, it was against the law in Virginia for churches to be incorporated? Mm-hmm. And he's the one who fought to get that changed.
Exactly.
Yes. He fought to get it changed. And it was all about making it easier for churches to get loans and insurance and all that kind of stuff. But he's the one who fought to get that changed.
There's a lot of people that we know that have trust, so they set up trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm always in the Bible about trust. And we've seen, without mentioning names, people have had trust for 25 years in another state. That trust, as soon as one of the beneficiaries decide they want their cut of the land, all they have to do is go to the court of the state that person's, you know, residing in. And the trust just comes unraveled. And it eventually ends up in probate because you can't afford to represent yourself. You know, whether the trustees handled it correctly or not.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on who the trustees are and how they manage it. And, you know, a lot of times in these huge family trusts, they get to, there's so much, what is it, dissension, animosity, and friction in the family, they get an executor. To go ahead and manage that outside of the family, so it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
they're probably, you know, in their system. There is some advantage of having that, but that's their system. Some projections.
I admit, and you guys have heard me. If you've heard me preach for any length of time, you've heard me admit I'm a simpleton. I'm just very, very simple in all of my approach to the scriptures. And back when I was just entering into the quote ministry with churches, 19 years old, and listening to guys talk about trusts, I thought, now wait a minute. Who's my trust supposed to be in? And that thing just scared me to death. I'm going to put my trust somewhere other than this. And so I just, in that just simplistic, I just never went that direction with anything as far as trust. And I still to this day I have people trying to tell me, Joe, you need to trust. This will fix it. You need to trust. It's like, yeah, I do need to trust. Absolutely, I need to trust. That's just my simpleton approach. You know, just like, you know, I still, you know, when I talk to people, and talk to, you know, sincere seekers of Christ. You know, well, what's wrong with a driver's license? Okay. Driver's license is not the issue. You know, you heard Eric say yesterday that he and I have had several meetings with the sheriff in Lawrence County. We went right into the sheriff's office one day and sat down, and the sheriff told me, to my face, driver's license is nothing but identification. He said it is government identification. That's what the sheriff told me. And it identifies as so that you can get protection from the state. You know, the state gave you all these rights and they're there to protect them for you. And that document is what says that this state is going to protect me. It's identification. It's not anything about driving. Tell me honestly, and I'm not disparaging you. I said this about my same children. When my children were 16, and my children were like you, Hudson, they and Jeremiah, and They were responsible. They were not your normal government school mindless airhead. But my children did not get behind a car, the wheel of a car, by themselves when they were 16 years old. They didn't do it. I had a son that at 16 was 215 pounds, 6'4", bigger than I was. Probably could have grown a beard better than I could. But at 16 years old, he was not ready. He was not mentally ready to get behind the wheel of a basically what could be a killing machine. So, you know, Joshua was 17 and a half years old before he ever went by himself in a car. Because I know full well that, in fact, his buddies that he hung around with, by the time Joshua started driving by himself at 17 and a half, he had a friend of his that had already had three wrecks. This is the one I've told you in one of my messages. This boy was driving down the downtown Verona, Missouri. It's like population 130. Tiny, just a little blip in the road just south of here. 1:30 in the morning, he's driving down the road in downtown Verona and has a head-on crash with his dad. He had a head-on collision at 1:30 in the morning, and the other car was his own dad.
I'll be out looking for him.
You're doing it at that hour anyway.
You tell me. But, I mean, what do these airheads, they don't have the sense enough to know that there's not a single thing good that happens that late at night.
Yeah, it just declared more point that Corbin is just like, you know, all the boys you talked about. My son is very level-headed, very responsible-minded, very overly cautious in a lot of times. Very cautious. But it's not him. It's the fact that this Babylonian insurance system where you spread out your liability over everybody else who's not an active partnership in your recklessness, they're all into that system and they don't care about their actions anymore. It's, oh well, the insurance company, that's what we have insurance for. Mm-hmm. And so they drive like bats out of heaven.
Yeah.
And so it's not Corbin that I'm worried about. It's the fact that the idiots that drive around him.
That's the issue I had to get through to my children. It's not you that I'm concerned about so much, although I was. I mean, understand that, you know, sending one of my children on the roads at 17 and a half with no insurance, no driver's license, no tags on your car. Joshua, if you damage someone while you're out there, you could force your mom and dad to sell our farm because I have to pay for your damages. Now, which 17-year-old is going to be better on the roads? The one who is operating under that, or the one who says, that's okay, you're in good hands with Allstate. Doesn't matter who you crash, doesn't matter who you maim, doesn't matter, we'll just call the insurance agent.
Your dad's premiums will go up, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But see, it shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't have to worry about sending out a 16-year-old in a horse and buggy or in a, you know, 400-horse car because everybody else should have the same mentality that, hey, I've got to be careful. I have to be mindful of the people coming the opposite direction and everything else.
Well, so the insurance company, that's all that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's, again, it's their system. You know, I mean, Charles Goodnight was driving cattle from Texas to Wyoming and back at 13 years old.
Right.
I mean, we've lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by himself.
And the insurance company lobbies for identification so we can find whose car that belongs.
The insurance companies have been really the driving corporation toward all this fascism. They really have.
Yeah.
Last spring, I think it was, I just been fighting this tooth forever, and I just kept putting it off and thinking it was going to end up being okay, and actually thought, well, maybe someday it'll just fall out and everything will be fine. And it just kept getting worse and worse. And finally, the dumb thing chipped. And it was really, really some serious pain. And so anyway, so I told Teresa, I said, you know, I don't want to, but I guess I'm going to have to go to the dentist to get this thing pulled. So she started calling dentists to make an appointment to get it pulled. The dentist said she'd make an appointment. She said, okay, just make sure your husband brings in government ID. I'm like, what are you talking about? Government ID to go get a tooth pulled? And I just couldn't figure it out. I just could not figure it out. And so finally, I told her, I said, well, yeah, I'll just present my Commonwealth of Israel ID and we'll get the stupid tooth pulled. Well, when I went in and they said, well, how are you paying? Well, I'm paying with cash. There was absolutely no mention whatsoever of an ID. The reason for the ID was because people were going in claiming to be someone else because someone else had insurance. And they were charging the insurance to somebody else's policy. So that's why they were demanding ID.
Well, Charlie, there's going to be people out there on that road that are not going to have insurance. So we're going to go ahead and have you pay a little more, and we'll call it underinsured and uninsured. So we're actually paying for them anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's another insurance lobby. Mm-hmm. And the people just go, it is so convoluted.
Yeah.
I've observed insurance companies, whatever they insure, they end up controlling completely. They pass little laws here, but first it's like, well, come on in and get this, your motor blows, and they're going to take care of you. Give you a free motor. Pretty soon they'll be telling you, you know, pretty soon it'll be mandatory. And then the next day, just, oh, your car's too old, you can't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. Whatever they get into, they control. Plus, the insurance companies are owned by the banks.
Someone asked me last night, I think it was Webb, something about when did churches start getting incorporated? Wasn't that back in Lyndon Johnson's time? I said, well, actually, it goes way further than Lyndon Johnson's time. It actually started in either the 20s, 30s, or 40s, I forget, but it was way before Lyndon Johnson. And what happened was the churches were wanting to go to the banks to borrow money to build their kingdoms. And so since they weren't incorporated, if the churches defaulted on their loans, because everything in their legal system requires paperwork, there has to be an official name registered with the state. That's why for individual people, that birth certificate is the registering of the name with the state so that that name can be taken to court and sued or whatever. Same thing with the unincorporated church. They had no legally registered name. So if the bank gave you a loan and you defaulted on it and the bank had no way of suing you because they can only sue a legally registered name, they then started forcing the churches, okay, if you want a loan from us, then you've got to go register with the Secretary of State. Because that way, we have recourse if you don't pay back your loan. So it's always these, they always use, you know, the corporations. I almost said private corporation. We know that's a joke. But they use the corporations to, you know, basically, in my opinion, what they're doing is they are forcing men to choose between staying faithful to this book, or which is what it is all about. Men's governments are in place to keep people from obeying this book. That's what they're there for.
Back to Genesis.
Yeah, that's what their laws, their statutes, all that, is to keep people from living according to the kingdom of Christ. And that's why I ask for so many years when I talk to people, sincere Christians, why do you have a driver's license? Where do you find that in here? Where do you find where God said to go get this document? Not just a driver's license, whatever it is. Where did God say to do it? And you know what? The only place that we could say that God said for us to go join with governments and do all their crap and follow their statutes, there's only one way that that can be justified, and that's through the twisting of Romans 13. And through the twisting of 1 Peter chapter 2.
Well, I was even going to say 1 Samuel.
Yeah.
Just because he said, well, go ahead and give him a key. Mm-hmm. So by the same justification, since God said, go do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I admit it's been my caveat for years that I said, you know, God said, even if you're so stupid to go do this, if you will just abide in me and your king will abide in me, I'll be with you. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good protection. So even if we're so stupid to go write a constitution, if we'll be with it, but we are definitely not with it, and we are definitely not abiding in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is the law book of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? And it supersedes any government on the planet. This government was before them all.
And I think that's what we have to exercise is the precedence. I don't know if that made any sense, but we got to go back to applying precedence if we're ever going to get in this situation.
Absolutely.
No, you have to understand the court system that, you know, you love law. It's like Brent. I'd like to get Brent in a room and say, okay, come on now. This is all precedent. You lead the way as to how these precedents are supposed to be applied.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need a godly lawyer to be able to help us coordinate in our thoughts and in our, you know, way of interaction.
There's hope for Brent. There is hope for Brent.
I emailed him on this. What did I email? He didn't respond. Do you
really?
I was going to ask, have you had any interaction with him since?
I could pick up the phone and call Brent and get him on the phone right now.
Has his mind, has he given any inclination that he's like, I wanted to know what his thoughts were post the debate trial. You know,
Let me tell you what the problem is. This is what it boils down to. It boils down to, until this false doctrine of futurism is beginning to come out of our lives, that is the biggest stumbling block, because the kings of 1 Samuel 8, I'm going to give you kings like, okay, that was not forever.
Exactly.
That was not forever. That was only until the end of the old covenant world. God allowed the Israelites and the nations to have their own kings, to walk in their own ways. That was only for the old covenant world. When the old covenant world ended, God took it all back.
All the kings of the earth.
Every bit of it.
And this is why Christianity blossomed across the globe. As I was trying to point out in the message that I had, is that that's what happened in Romans 13, chapter 1. Was that authority now was back to them to act under him, under his authority, under his protection, in his power.
And all the tyrants collapsed, and they call it the Dark Ages.
That's right. You know, the divine right of kings suddenly got figured out and said, no, you don't have a divine right over us.
Right.
It's not that we're lawless. That law's been written on our heart. We know how to interact with one another. Line and shoe. The world makes us interact poorly with each other.
Kingdom line, in other words.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Because we don't operate the way we should. Because, well, I got insurance, just like you said. So go ahead and be, you know, careless.
Guys, it's 8:36. Let me check. Just check with Jeff and see if he's ready.
Do you guys want to sit down and get tedious?
Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. You guys standing for prayer?
Yeah.
forward.
All right, great. Okay. Someone lead us. Whoever.
Father God, thank you for these men. Thank you for the houses they represent, Father. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for opening our ears. Thank you for opening our minds and softening our hearts and our stiff necks. These men want to be in your kingdom. We are your people. Guide us, direct us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your son, our king. And thank you for this food, and we ask you to bless it. We love you. We praise you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.